In October last year, a report was tabled in the New South Wales Legislative Council on the states of our pounds and the adequacy of laws governing our pets and pet ownership. The Upper House Committee received 142 submissions and made 24 recommendations, and the inquiry even came out here to the Central West and visited pounds in Bathurst, Orange and Cowra. So what's happened since that report was handed down? Danielle Haas runs a dog daycare and grooming business in Orange and is a member of Orange City Council's Companion Animals Committee. I asked her if she was happy with the government's response to the recommendations at the moment.
My personal opinion is their response was pretty much kicking the can down the road, with about 50% of the solutions they reiterated programs which they've already commenced or are looking at in order to handle those recommendations. And then about 50% of the recommendations, they said, look, we'll address this when we review the Companion Animal Act and address it then. But no date. No sign of when that might happen, unfortunately.
Okay. And so can you tell me a bit about what's the situation in Orange when it comes to particularly impounded and surrendered vets? Because I understand that's a big sticking point for yourself on this committee.
The situation in the Central West and what I understand across most of New South Wales is that pounds are full. No dogs can just be dropped to the pound. The only way a dog can end up in our pound is if the ranger picks them up on the street. And unfortunately, people are now gaming that system as well, and they're just letting their dogs out of their gates because they can't rehome it, they can't get rid of it any other way, so just let it out. So that means that all the pounds are full and more dogs are coming in. Unfortunately, the reality is that dogs must be euthanised. And we're talking hundreds in Orange, hundreds per year are being euthanised, which, you know, I don't blame the pound for that. They've got a job to do. And unfortunately, the community are not doing their job in terms of how they should have a pet for life. The pounds just can't cope with the amount of dogs that are being thrust upon them. Rehoming organisations are full. Fosters are full. Everyone's crying out for more fosters, but ultimately there's just not enough to go around. So the bottom line is you got to destroy them because another 10 will come in tomorrow. And if you've had dogs or cats sitting there for weeks or months who nobody wants, and it's a terrible, terrible crisis, they've got to be euthanized.
So, as you're mentioning, there's a lot of people that, there's a lot of pets that are ending up in our pounds. Our pounds are full. There's not enough places to rehome them or to foster them. From someone like yourself who works in this industry, do we have an understanding as to why so many pets are being surrendered or let out? Do we know why that's happening?
Yep, sure. So, look, the parliamentary inquiry got right into it and covers it quite extensively. But, I mean, I just know personally what I saw happen in the last 5 years, right? So during COVID, rehoming organisations, pounds, myself, anyone involved with the dog industry was jumping up and down with joy because they were empty. Because people were looking for dogs tenfold.
While lockdown
was happening and they were home and they're thinking, oh, let's get a dog. These dogs were all just rehomed. It was fantastic. We're all so excited. Yay, no longer dogs in pounds, etc. But what, unfortunately, we didn't foresee what would happen once lockdown was over. People went back to work. And not only were rehoming organisations and pounds and those sort of secondhand dogs empty, but new dogs and breeders were breeding, supply and demand, they were breeding massively.
You were hearing on the ground, was it?
Oh, God, and seeing, right? So they were breeding as quickly as they possibly could. It was really unethical and massive amounts of money. So not only did we empty the pounds and rehomings and fosters, we also had this massive increase of supply of designer dogs. Didn't matter what they were. And in fact, people who, I've got a male and a female that are both still entire, let's just pop a litter out because someone will pay for them. So dogs were just appearing, puppies were appearing. So, and then what was worse during lockdown is you then couldn't do puppy school, you couldn't do all the right things.
So they're not trained.
No. So right. You took all these dogs, you thrust them upon all these homes where the dogs weren't being trained and they were also being cared for 24/7 because we were home. And what that led to is when we finally went back to work, we had all these dogs that didn't know how to be home alone. So then they started all the bad behaviours, the digging, the chewing, the barking, the getting out, all these sorts of behaviours that are very common for anxious dogs and separation anxiety. So as soon as we all went back to work, very quickly, we started seeing people realise they couldn't keep a dog anymore.
Talk to me a bit about de-sexing. You know, I imagine that that's something else that you're keeping a,
yeah,
a
look,
bit of an
you,
eye on as well.
If you look at Facebook and look at social media, you see it. And I'm more sort of attuned to it because I follow all the pages and I see it, and I guess the algorithm gives it to me more. But, you know, the amount of people who are trying to sell puppies on Facebook, which, by the way, is illegal, seems to still just happen remarkably, you know, at the moment. It happens a lot. My personal viewpoint, talking to a few people and understanding the problem currently, and also, you know, reading the 24 recommendations that are not going to be quick to be addressed, I think if you could wave a wand and de-sex every possible dog in an area, just from a statistical perspective, you would dramatically decrease this exponential rise of puppies who can continue breeding. I figure that what could we do locally to make a difference? If you were to be outrageous and say, okay, what if we could de-sex 100% of dogs in the Orange City Council electorate? What would the impact of that be? Now, when you sit down and start to analyse it, you know, you've got to get to them, you've got to have the logistics to be able to do it, et cetera, et cetera. There's you can find plenty of barriers if you want to find barriers, but I'm not a barriers girl. I'm a let's just do it. The ultimate problem with that is money. Now, that's been the problem with this whole ecosystem the whole time. You know, there's not enough money coming from state government to councils. There's not enough money in councils to fix this problem. But if you could, at one point in time, kind of just draw a line and try and decrease the problem rather than increasing by de-sexing every dog, then you might be starting to address the problem. Because ultimately, we know there's a ton of people that would happily de-sex their dog if they could afford it, but they can't afford it.
Sure.
So if we just did a long-term program, we found this money somewhere, and we de-sexed every dog we could get our hands on. Now, obviously, there are outliers. There will be.
That's what I was going to say, because you're relying on people to come and do it as well.
There is no reason to keep a dog entire that can breed. The country needs to step up. The states need to step up. Local council needs to step up and start to fix this problem. There's no law that you have to de-sex your dog. Now, that could change, and I reckon that'll be a really hard battle fought. But there is laws about registration and microchipping. So even if they were enforced, because currently no one has the power, POCTA, Prevention of Cruelty to Animals, no one has the power to fine or enforce. If we could just de-sex dogs and stop all these puppies appearing in backyards that are also not de-sexed and registered and microchipped, I believe that could be the problem if we could do that. And if we could, let's do a pilot to do this the best way we can. Now, again, of course, there's going to be logistical challenges. Who's going to do all the de-sexing? Who's going to stand up and do it? But there's got to be a solution. Where there's a will, there's a way, right? Find the people, de-sex the dogs, fix the problem.
That's Danielle Haas there, who runs a dog daycare and grooming business in Orange and is a member of Orange City Council's Companion Animals Committee. Just to clarify, the full drop-off kennels at the entrance to Orange City Pound are for Orange's stray dogs only. You're listening in to ABC Central West this morning.